praise God for Minister Walter Fisher leading us in our scripture and our prayer today. I do want to lift up a couple of prayer requests before we receive our pastor. We want to remember Brother Will Clark and his family and the passing of his brother. And we also want to lift up Mother Clara Jackson, her family, the sickness of Brother Harold Jackson. Pray that God's blessings will be upon that family. We pray for healing and comfort in the name of Jesus. I want to thank God for Pastor Rasko this morning as he comes. We are excited about hearing the word of God today. Amen. We're excited about what the Lord has to say to us through the man of God. And so I pray that you all are blessed by the word of God today. Amen.
Been a time in my life that he didn't see me through. Hey, Mike and Janet, there has never been a time where he did not see me through. Hey, Philip, Deborah, there has never been a time in our life where God didn't see me through. Ed, can you be a witness? There has never been a time. You need to know that he's gonna see you through. I've had my share. Of lies, I've had ups and downs. God's been good to me. Riri, I can testify, my downs, they've been few. Oh, you could say, God has blessed me. For there's never been a time in my life he didn't see me through. If anyone should ever write my life story, oh, for whatever reason, that there might be, Lord, I want you to know you'll be there between each line, pain and glory. Oh, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. If anyone should ever write my life story, oh, for whatever reason that there might be, you'll be there between each line, pain and glory. Oh, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. 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 Oh, Jesus is the best thing. Yeah, yeah, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened. Oh, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Amen. Amen. My, were we blessed today by the psalmist and the band. We thank God for each and every one of y'all, and to all of you who are sharing with us online. I do want to share with y'all, because some of y'all think that this sanctuary is filled with people because you hear me calling all these names. I'm talking to people who are online. I get a chance to look and see the names of people who are streaming, and I remember some of them, and so I'm talking to people who are online. Those people are not in the sanctuary, because some of y'all have been saying, well, why can't I come? No. We have the bare minimum in terms of the team that is needed to streamline, but when you hear me talk about Riri's down in Hopkinsville. That's my cousin in Hopkinsville, and Brian, he's in Indianapolis, and my mom and them and all of them folk, some of these folk in South Carolina, Little Dog and all, and Janet. I'm talking to people all over the country, which again is what an awesome opportunity God has given us in the midst of all of this, where we can join together and reach some people that we were not reaching before. So to God be the glory for that. Amen. I do want to drop anchor in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, and I'm going to drop anchor in that 11th verse, reading from the New International Version. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Amen. I want to talk about the upside, the upside, the upside. In 2017, there was a remake of a movie. The movie was actually originally entitled The Untouchables. The Untouchables was launched in 2011 in France, and it was a story about a French billionaire and an Algerian young man who ended up serving him. They were an unlikely pair, but they learned to serve and love each other in difficult circumstances. Somebody bought the movie and launched it in 2017 in the US. And in 2017, Kevin Hart He plays the role of Dell, and there's a man by the name of Bryan Cranston who plays the role of the billionaire Philip LaCase. And then Nicole Kidman, she plays the role of the business executive that takes care of Philip's business, and her name is Yvonne. They all had issues, every single one of them. They had some major issues. There was heartbreak, that was an issue. There was disappointment, that was an issue. There was an individual that had given up hope and didn't even wanna live. All of them had issues, but in the midst of all the issues, as they worked together, as they served one another, they discovered there was an upside in the midst of their trial. I want to drop anchor in Jeremiah 29, because in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah writes to the people who are in exile. These people, the children of Israel, had been dominated by the Babylonians, and the Babylonians has taken them back to Babylon. And there was some folk who got to the mic. They got to the mic and they sent a message and said to the children who were in Babylon, this ain't gonna last long. It's only gonna be a minute. It's gonna pass away real quick. But then the Lord tells Jeremiah, they lying. This is gonna be about 70 years. So Jeremiah writes a letter. He writes a letter to the children who are in exile. And to the children who are in exile, he's reminding them, one, this thing ain't gonna be over as soon as you thought, number one. And number two, in the meantime, you need to know that God is still in charge, and God has given you a promise, God has a plan, and God's going to prosper you. God has a promise, that's verse number 10. God has a plan, that's verse number 11. And God plans to prosper. He plans to prosper you. Oh, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to not harm you. Plans to give you hope and plans to give you a future. My beloved brothers and sisters, I love whenever you read the word of God and you come across God saying a promise, I'm going to fulfill my good promise. Matter of fact, I would suggest to you that anytime you're reading the word of God and God talks about his promise, I encourage you to circle it. I encourage you to circle it, because you need to know there are some folk who make a promise, don't mean a thing. Don't mean a thing. But when God makes a promise, you need to know that. Here's what I love. Have you ever heard God stutter? God don't stutter, and God don't say nothing he hadn't thought through. And when God says it, can you imagine the angels in heaven saying to God, are you sure you want to say that? Because God, once it comes out of your mouth, you got to do what you say, because if you don't do what you say, you can't be God no more. But the good God we serve, he says what he means, and he means what he says. Reminds me of Dr. F.P. Miller, the beloved pastor who's upstairs now. He was the pastor of the Ebenezer Church. And when Dr. Miller would ever come to a funeral, and if he ever gave him the mic, Dr. Miller would stand up, and in that baritone voice, he would always quote the text and say, God is not a man that he should lie. He always reminds the people of God that God don't lie. When God gives you a promise, you can hold on to it. Here's the deal. You don't know always when he's going to fulfill it. You don't always know how he's going to fulfill it, but you can trust that God, he's the God who keeps his word. He's the covenant keeping God, and you can bank on that. In times like these, can't listen to everything that comes from D.C. Can't trust everything that comes from everybody else. But you can trust what comes from the word of God and the mouth of God. I thank God for his promise. Listen to what he says in that 11th verse. Oh, the plans. Oh, the plans. Watch the phrase. Oh, the plans that I have. In other words, he's not saying I'm working on some plans. These are some plans that I already have in place. The wonderful thing about God, when God talks about his plans, when he says that he has a plan for you, plans are always given with the intent of changing the present to match something that you want to have in the future. He says, when a person wants to build a house, here's what they do. They don't just go to Kite and buy a bunch of 2x4s and a few 2x12s and some shingles. No, they begin with a plan. Whenever a person wants to build a house, they begin with some plans. But not only do you need plans, but you need people, and you've got to understand a process in order to bring about what it is that you're hoping to build. In the plans, in the blueprints, there's a part called the elevation. That's where you see what it looks like from the outside. You get to see from the outside. You get to see from the side angle. You see the elevation. In the plans, you turn the page and you'll see the sketch of the rooms where the framers will build the rooms, and they'll have a number saying how big they are, how wide they are. In the plans, there's another page that has the plans for the electrician, because he'll have every place where a light goes, where a switch goes, where a plug goes. There's a plan for the plumber. There's a plan for the mason. It's the plan where the mason has to learn. He's got to know where to dig the footer and where to lay it out. It's all in the plan. You've got to have plans that's on paper. But then it goes from plans to people. It's people that you use to carry out to build the home. You need people, somebody to landscape, somebody to do the plumbing, somebody to do the carpentry, somebody to paint, somebody to be the electrician, somebody to put in your heating and air, somebody to put in the septic system, all of those individuals are individuals that come together to build the house, and they've got to do it in an orderly fashion. You can't go to an empty lot and bring in the carpenter. No, there's an order to the thing. You've got to prepare the site, and then after you prepare the site, you've got to decide where the house is going to sit and whether it's going to be flush to the street or at an angle. You've got to prepare the site. Then somebody has to dig the footer. And no matter how bad you want to put in the landscape, you shouldn't put in the landscape until everything else is done. I mean, I know you're eager to put that baby blue on the wall, but don't go in and paint the 2x4s. You got to wait till somebody put up the drywall and finish the drywall, because there's an orderly, there's a process that goes to carrying out the plan. And if you understand that's what it takes in building a house, how much more so does it take plans to build a life, to build God's kingdom? God says there's an order to the process. And I know y'all want to get out of this jam. I know you want things to be different. But I rest in God continues to say, there are plans that I have for you. And there's a process that has to take place to carry out the plans. There's a process. There are people that have to play a role in bringing out the process. It has to be orderly. And God wants to do that. He does that because everything God does, he does it decently. He does it in order. He's not the author of confusion. And that's why in this walk, we've got to learn how to trust God. We've got to trust God. We want to get to the destiny, but we struggle with the process. Here we are, here they are, the children of Israel. They're in exile and they want to come out and they want the fulfillment of the destiny. But there's a process that you got to go through to get from where you are to where God has planned for you to be. And if it takes time to build a house, don't you think it does take time to build a life? And there's some orderly things that has to take place in order for you to end up with the house, with the life that God wants you, that God wants you to have. I know there are times all of us think we know everything. We think we know what's best, but you got to learn how to trust God, especially when God says, I got some plans for your life. He says, I have some plans. He's given us a promise. God has some plans. And watch this. In that plan, he says he wants to, I have a plan to prosper you, which simply means you need to know that where you are is not your destiny. God has something more in store for you. Where you are is where you are, but where I am is not where I'm going to be. Have I got a witness here? He says, I plan to prosper you. I've got some plans to take you a little higher. But the struggle is when you hear God uttering these kind of words and you see where you are, sometimes it's hard to see it. God says, I've got a future for you, but sometimes it's hard to see it. It reminds me, my mama was vacationing one time in Hopkinsville, and that's where we took most of our vacations, but I was an adult. I was out of the house. It was over 40 years ago, and she tells the story of how they were vacationing in Hopkinsville, and they got back to Indianapolis, and a few days after getting back to Indianapolis, my mother discovered that her vision was becoming blurred, and my mama's head, she had a headache, and she took aspirin, but she still had blurred vision, and her head was hurting, and she was about to make an appointment to the doctor, and then she discovered that she had the wrong glasses. She had the wrong glasses. Her and grandmama had frames that were similar in style. And my mama had picked up my grandmama's glasses and went back home, and it worked for a while. But after a little while, because those lenses weren't made for her, she ended up with blurred vision, and she ended up with headaches. The question was asked, Mama, how did you pick up the wrong glasses? How'd you do that? And I said, well, she didn't have her glasses when she picked up her glasses. And so she couldn't see. She didn't have her glasses on when she picked them up. But then secondly, she picked them up on the run. They were packed up and trying to get the kids in and trying to get everything loaded up. And she grabbed them on the run. And the truth is, y'all, I know that you don't have to have glasses to pick up glasses. I know that. Which really what I'm getting to is really this. Because the lens you look through is so critical, you got to be careful about the lens you pick. Because if you look through the wrong lens, some stuff is going to be blurred, and it's going to cause some headaches, and you won't be able to function at a high level. Let me say it again. If you grab some glasses on the run, just thinking any old glasses will do, you maybe end up looking through the wrong lens, the lens that wasn't designed for you. I would suggest to somebody right now who's trying to figure out this pandemic, there are some people that are looking through the pandemic trying to find God. And I would suggest that may cause some blurred vision and some headaches, because there's some people that don't need God till trouble come will create a theology that says, God, what kind of God are you that would let something like this happen all over the world? Well, that's a sign that you don't know the good God that you're calling on. But on the other hand, if you get to know God, and if you look at whatever we go through the lens, through God's lens, you discover that one, he's in charge, he's sovereign, he can do whatever he wants to, while he wants to, when he wants to. But you'll also discover that some things that God brings your way is not necessarily to destroy you. It could be, I've discovered that there's some stuff that we go through that causes us to come a little closer to God. Have I got a witness here? There's some things that will shake you, that will make you come a little closer to God. Is there anybody up in here, anybody out there that can testify your prayer life has changed? Anybody out here that says you've been doing a better job watching your money since you've been this, because God has a way of using some stuff that we've never experienced before to draw us a little closer. Hey, you remember the story of the woman who was riding with her husband, and she thought back on the days when they used to sit together and you couldn't see light between them. And they used to be so romantic. She had looked over and saw this other car, and this girl was almost on his lap. And she looked over at the man and said, we used to be like that. And she had a little nasty attitude. And you know, every husband has to think how he gonna respond. That some stuff, he just rolled the window down and let it go on out. But this time, this man said, he thought to himself, I'm a little sick of her always throwing these pot shots at me. And so the Holy Ghost gave him a comeback. And he looked over, he said to her, I ain't moved. You'll catch that one in the parking lot. He said, I'm in the same place that I was. Hey, if you ain't as close to God as you used to be, my question is, who moved? Who moved? God been sitting where he is all the time. Looking through the right lens makes all the difference. You see, in that movie, Philip LaCase, he was a quadriplegic. He was a billionaire. He had cars, but couldn't drive them. Had money, but couldn't necessarily count it. He had all of the wonderful things that money could buy, but money could not buy a new spine. He was a quadriplegic. He couldn't go to the bathroom by himself. He could not wash himself. He could not feed himself. And he reached the point, as a result of a broken heart and the death of his lovely wife, and as a result of what he was going through, that he told all the caregivers, do not resuscitate me. Matter of fact, the movie opens with him coming out of the hospital. He's in a wheelchair, coming out of the hospital, and he's fuming, and he's telling his caregiver, he said, this is such a waste of time. I told you not to resuscitate me. And she said, but you weren't breathing. He said, I told you don't take any extraordinary measures to keep me alive, because life had dealt him a blow where he was at a point he no longer wanted to live. But the truth is, in the midst of all of those things, there was an upside. There was an upside. Dell, played by Kevin Hart, one of the best roles I think Hart has ever played, he was down and out. He was a fellow who had a record and was desperate, wanting to see and be in a relationship with his son. And parole officer were pressing him, when you gonna get a job? At least have signatures to show that you've been applying. And Walter, he had reached the point where he just concluded, what, nobody going to hire him. And all he did, he went around just being satisfied with getting a signature, because he had lost hope. This young African American, and now this rich billionaire, God had the amazing thing in the story, they had now come together. You got one guy that don't want to live. You got another person that don't want to live well. And lo and behold, as they come together, they find that their circumstances has begin to work towards one another's good. It stretched them. Dale, the young man, he discovered there were some things that he said he couldn't do. There were some things he said he wouldn't do. But then as he began to build a relationship with this individual, he recognized that there was an upside. You see, the beauty of the whole story is you've got one person that don't want to live, another person don't think there's anything worth living for because nobody will ever give you an opportunity. And then you got a third person who has decided in their life that even though they've had a life, they want to serve, but they don't want to be hurt. And they're scared of walking out on the limb because they don't want to be hurt. And so they just want to be in the background serving, trying to make a difference. But all of their lives changed when they began to serve one another. The upside is that when things are tough, it's amazing what happens, how attitudes change when you discover the beauty of serving one another, the joy of being able to help somebody while you can with what you have when you can makes all the difference in the world. They went through some stuff. Every day wasn't sunny, but the truth is they discovered the upside. And when you're in the midst of a pandemic, when you're in the midst of a crisis, you need God to show you that he always has an upside when there's some stuff going down. I'm going to say it again. When you look through the lens of the Lord, God will show you his glory even in the midst of a crisis. See, the children of Israel, they wanted to be over quick. And God said, no, this ain't going to be over quick. And so he sends Jeremiah, and basically he tells, through Jeremiah, he tells them three things. One, behave. Even though you're in exile, you're my children, behave. Secondly, be a witness. Because you're in the midst of a whole bunch of heathens that know nothing about me. Behave. And then secondly, be a witness so that they'll come to know. Because you don't get to stop serving God just because you're in the midst of a struggle. You don't get to clock out from serving God just because there's a pandemic. We got to keep on serving God and loving God. And how do we do it? We serve God by serving and loving each other. It's an opportunity to serve and to love each other. I've been telling y'all, look for the opportunity, because there's an opportunity in the midst of the crisis. God wants to use you to bless somebody in the midst of trials. And it's not going to be necessarily somebody you know. It's not going to be necessarily somebody who's a part of the family of God. But God is telling the children of Israel, behave and be a witness. And here's the last one, be strong. Be strong, because I'm going to keep my word. I've got a great future in store for you. And if you'll hold on, you're going to see, you're going to experience the promise that I have for you. Behave, be a witness, be strong. Because even though there's a downside with God, there's always an upside. You look like you don't believe me. Well, what about Jonah? I'm glad you asked. They threw him out of the boat. That's a downside. He went in the water. That's a downside. Now, Pastor, where's the upside to that? The fish swallowed him. Well, how is that the upside? It didn't chew him. It didn't bite him. It didn't chew him. It swallowed him. And it had enough oxygen where it was he was lodging. And then the upside is even God can tickle the belly of the fish and make him upchuck. Have I got a witness here? Did he go through something? Yeah, he did. But the upside is God kept him alive. In the midst of it, God kept him alive, and God gave him another chance to do what God had called him to do. Okay, smart pastor. They crucified Jesus. Uh-huh, they did. It happened on Friday. But you got to remember what he said before he went down. He told the disciples several times, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to take my life. We're going to have a rough time. That's the downside. They're going to crucify me, and I'm going to die. That's the rough side. But read the rest of the sentence. But 3 days later, I'm getting up again. That's the upside. You got to know that with the mighty God we serve, there's always an upside. And God is using his people in the midst of times like these. Be a witness. Behave. Be strong. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. You acknowledge him. Give him the glory. Find an opportunity to serve him. Find an opportunity to serve him by serving others. And you'll discover that it'll put a smile on people's faces because they were praying to God. And it'll put a smile on your face because it's a joy to be able to give, to be an instrument of the mighty hand of God, to bring comfort, joy, peace, and blessings in the lives of others. Well, the story ended that everyone's life had changed. The wealthy individual, he discovered that he really did have something to live for, something to think, to be thankful for. The young lady who had a crush on him all the time discovered it was a joy in giving people a second chance. And Dale, through the blessing of being able to serve the individual, he was able to provide a home for his ex and his son. And the text, when it ends, it says, and they were friends till this day. Because in the midst of going through some stuff, in the midst of life dealing them a rough curve, they looked for the upside, learned how to serve each other. I close by telling you this. Serving in the midst of a crisis is one of the greatest things you can do. You want to put a smile on your face, find somebody to love. Find somebody to serve. Show the love of Christ, and I promise you, the love of God and the peace of God will fill your heart, and you'll find comfort and you'll find strength as you know that you're an instrument of God bringing peace in troubled times. Somebody looking at me right now, all of this is because of the joy we have in being able to have a relationship with God as our Father. And I stand today to let you know that I don't care who you are, where you've been, what you've done, the God we serve wants you to be a part of the family. I'm here to let you know that our sins have separated us from him. But I'm here to tell you right now that dying on the cross, Jesus paid the price for all of our sins. And if you'll repent and trust him as Lord and Savior, he'll come into your life. Here's what I want to tell you. Your life with God can begin today, but it'll last a lifetime. It can start this very moment. If you'll pray this prayer, mean it with all your heart. God, I know that you're God. I believe that you sent your only son. I believe he died for my sins, and I'm a sinner, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry for my sins. I want you to come into my heart and make me your child. I'm determined to love you and to serve you. God, I want to thank you for your promise and thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that says I can call on you and be saved this very day. I welcome you now. I encourage you. Let us know if you've trusted the Lord as your Savior. Let us know if you've received him today. Let us know if you made a dedication to walk in his will. I love you. I thank God for you. And I pray God's blessings upon you right now. Amen. Hey, family, we are so fortunate today. I just want to, again, express my gratefulness. I'm so grateful to all of our team of individuals that come along and to prepare and help us as we serve you. That's what we're trying to do. I'll let you know, I want you to know that we have some Zoom Bible study classes. We're excited about those. Please go online. You can find the time that those classes are being held. Very grateful also for your faithfulness in giving your tithes, your offerings. Again, it's time for the offering, and you've been giving through Givelify and PayPal. Some of you have been mailing in your tithes and offerings, and some have even brought it by the church and put it through the mail slot. For your faithfulness, we want to say thank you. And I thank God for you. You are a strong church, and we honor you for what you're doing. Know that there are numerous individuals that we're reaching out to. I've asked that you make us aware of individuals that need assistance and help, and we want to do just that. And so I want to encourage you to please make contact with the church office. The phone lines have been made of such that it will go directly to our church administrator, and she will give us the information that we need. I do want to ask that you please remember Brother Jonathan Parkhurst. Continue to lift him in prayer. Please pray for the Merriweather family, and we want to ask that you please remember Sister Clara Jackson and Brother Harold as well, and pray your blessings. Pray that you'll pray God's strength and blessings on their circumstance as well. It's been a great day. Again, to all of the team, we thank God for each and every one of you. James, am I leaving out any? Okay. Please know that we will be in contact with you when we will be able to start our services coming together again. We have a team of individuals. We are working on creating what that will look like. We know that we'll have numerous hands-free sanitation stations where you can have, and we're trying to work on the protocol as well. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to get together again. And in the words of my grandmama, and when we do, what a time. Thank you again for your faithfulness. Thank you for sharing. And we pray that you would continue to serve God's people. There's an upside to this. God is doing something awesome. He's allowing us to reach many more people than we ever had before. And you have been strong in your giving and sharing, and we thank God for that. I'm going to close us today in prayer. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, dear God, that you have plans already in place. It's your desire, and you are able to take us from where we are to where you have planned for us to be. And just like there's an orderly process in building a home, you have an orderly process in building your kingdom. You have an orderly process in building a life. Thank you for the people that you bring in and out of our lives as we strive to serve you. God, we love you. We thank you. In the midst of all these things, help us to see the upside and the opportunity of serving and loving your people. And as we serve and love your people, we'll represent you. We pray that in our lives, people will see good works and give glory to you, our Father, which is in heaven. For every technician, for every member, for every individual that have worked to bring clarity and allow this opportunity for streamlining, we love you for that. And we pray your blessings right now. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you, and God keep you till we meet again.